We are here with Hussein Aldebi. He is a good friend of mine. I wanted to share with you his project, him and his family's project. So, hey, Hudi, how are you?
Hey, man. I'm very good. How
good.
Are you?
Good, good, good. I met you and Vanny on a trip a few years ago, actually.
We had our wedding in 2017. And yeah, before we got married, we had the idea to go on an extended honeymoon trip. So we started working a lot and we could collect quite a budget to get married in Sardinia. We had a very wonderful wedding with all our loved people coming from Germany and some from Spain to celebrate our wedding. And after we took off to a 7 month trip through Latin America. And this 7 month trip through Latin America was a very special trip because what we did back there is like the gifts we got for our marriage. We put this all into the middle of the table. We start counting it. And in the end, it came out that if we want to travel for 7 months, we have a budget, a daily budget of 33 euros each day. So that was already something special. So we kind of, took off with a daily budget. So you have kind of a mission every day to not go over the budget because you want to travel for that long. So we start our journey in Mexico and we wanted to reach Chile. This was the original plan. But once you start traveling, you understand there's no real plan in your journey because you stay open and you see how the flow goes. So you go with the flow, basically. Yes, at some point we met some very interesting people like you. We met in León, in Nicaragua, in a nice hostel, which was nice at some point and super weird at other points. But
sure.
This is
like this happens.
This is the own podcast, maybe. So at some point we just felt so released because we came from Germany where we were just working a lot before. We just finished our studies. We kind of start tasting the juice of life, and especially the juice of Latin America is a super nice juice, man. I really can just recommend this to everybody who did not visit this place so far. So Latin America is so similar and so diverse, it's crazy. So we've visited 9 countries. We didn't make it to Chile, but we made it until Peru, which was completely overwhelming and brilliant experience. And Latin America changed us a lot. Like, it kind of gave us this perception of anything is possible, like even more than before.
Why do you think that is? Because I felt something similar too.
Yeah. I think it's also the people you meet. Like, we met some very interesting people on our trip. And once you do a trip like this, you start realizing that all the anxieties you had before, because people will tell you, watch out there, watch out there, watch out there. So you always live kind of in a fantasy of places. But once you make the experience and you exchange the fantasy with experience, you see that there is no anxiety any place because it's kind of a fantasy in your head. Because when you finally meet people from different countries, when you are in different situations and you make your own experience, you realize, oh my God, I really thought it would be completely different, but it isn't, you know? It's at that point you realize that creating experience and moments is the most valuable thing we have. It's a privilege. Everybody can do it. Everybody can go out and make their experience. But the thing is that the human mind, human character likes to be in his comfort zone, on her comfort zone. People underestimate themselves. They don't think it's possible. But at some point you start living it and you just see it's all possible, everything. And there's some very special moments I always will remember, and I will always remember, I think, because those moments, they really changed my perception. Mm. And it's something with the connection, to everything, with the connection to the universe. And when you connect it to the universe, you connect it to everything. And once you have this mindset, you start realizing that what I actually think or what I actually wish for myself can come true. And when you realize that the things you wish or the things you think about come true, it becomes a game, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when those desires are humble, yeah. When they're for like necessity, but also for like a pure intention.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
You can wish what we were just talking about 10 years ago in your yearbook.
Exactly.
You said something completely unrelated to what you feel about that, the concept of wealth now.
Exactly.
And so that wealth is easily attainable when it's not money.
Exactly.
We're talking about experiences or skill sets.
Exactly. And at some point, I kind of understood that you have two options, basically, in life. And those options became for me, I can choose between first life and second life. So am I the avatar who really plays this game consciously, or am I an avatar who got played this life? Mm. So you choose in the end of the day. Are you choosing first life or you choose second life? And I rather choose first life, because first life is fun. It's fun, man. I really can just say it's fun. If you succeed or not, it's about creating experience, creating moments, and grow at some point, you know?
Yeah.
Because you have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to lose.
Yeah. Can you tell us where we are right now?
Yes, I can tell you exactly where we are. So we are basically in the center of Portugal. It's, basically geographically more or less the center of this country. And we are here in Brejo. Brejo is, basically the village we're living in. And this village contains four properties, actually. So we have four neighbors. And this little village belongs to Oleiros, which is the next bigger city from our place. So it's like 15 minutes drive. And yeah, that's actually where we are right now, sitting on one of our terraces and looking into the valley of Valdemos. That's the name of our valley.
I'm hearing a growling dog underneath
us. I'm hearing a growling dog, our good friend.
So maybe you'll hear some dog barks.
Yes, that's farm life.
The rural lifestyle.
The rural lifestyle needs kind of those little friends. Who always in their protection mode, so they try to protect us, of course, of all those enemies around here. It's a wild life, yeah.
So you're not from here originally, though, Hudi, right?
No, I was born in Germany, like born and grew up in Germany in 1990. And my family, they were immigrants from Lebanon and Palestine. And they came to Germany in the 70s, in 76. So me and my brothers and sisters, we all born and grew up in Germany.
What made you decide to come out here?
Actually, it was kind of intuition decision in the end. So me and Vanessa, my wife, we always were looking for a place to finally thrive towards our dreams, to really start creating what we were like desiring these past years. And we were super open-minded country-wise, but Portugal, since we visited Portugal in 2013 for our first time and had a nice road trip with two friends for 3 weeks, we already felt kind of the connection to Portugal. It was 3 weeks with real pleasure, really special moments, and so we always had Portugal in our mind, kind of. Mm-hmm. And at one point, when we grew older, we kind of got more in depth with properties. So we start really making a list of pros and cons. And in the end, Portugal was really on the top list, mm-hmm. like on the top two. We were still not sure if it's gonna be Galicia in Spain or Portugal. But when we had a nice trip in our van last year, coming from Germany, driving through France, the north of Spain, Galicia, and then finally arrived in Portugal. On that road, like on that tour, we already were looking for land, and finally when we came here to Portugal to visit good friends who also have a property just 10 minutes drive from our place now. We got here in the mountains, and finally the property found us. Let's put it that way.
And what did you hope to do out here once you got a certain piece of land? What was the project that you found yourself wanting to do the last few years? You've been thinking about this more and more. Yeah. What did you want to create out here once you got here?
Yeah, the big desire actually was starting 5 years ago, like when I was 25, 2015, when we kind of created kind of a very, I would say, open journey through life. And we kind of found out that in the system we were living, there are many things which we are not agreeing with. So the big desire was to basically create like an autark, independent life, which of course contains own farming, own production of energy, and mostly construction work, of course. So trying to get at as deep as we can to really like do the things on our own. And while we were living in Germany, of course Germany is a nice country for us as well, and the thing is, in Germany is very, very hard to make a project like this happening, because there are many restrictions. And of course, it's a completely different financial aspect in Germany. So, the big desire was to create an autark life, basically. So this was the big vision, and it's still the big vision, to one day, produce all we need. And this is basically food and energy.
You also wanted to create this autonomous lifestyle, but also you wanted to share it.
It's basically a very hippie roots vision we had when we were younger. So Vanessa, she's 2 years older than me, and Vanessa, she kind of had this idea even when she was younger than me back then. So with me, it kind of started like with 24 25, and actually back there the big idea was to share all we kind of got to know through life and through research, through talking to people. We wanted to share kind of our insights and to kind of empower people to maybe thrive towards kind of a same philosophy, same kind of lifestyle. So the idea was to be an example and to share this. And at some point we kind of thought about we should make a community. Like, we should start a community with the friends we were studying with, the friends we were hanging out with in Cologne. But as usual, there's a lot of vision, there's a lot of philosophizing and talking a lot. And at some point, we decided, okay, I think it's hard to start a project like this with a big group. So we said to ourselves, okay, we are kind of the initiators maybe of change, like in person life in the first sense, like in the first way. But then we could also be a change for maybe creating a small community. So we decided, okay, let's just be the example of what we kind of like to get changed around us. So that was the point when we realized, let's stop talking too much to people and start doing actually things, like making changes in our personal life. And of course, those changes, they will lead to changes with people around us, because they like us, they hang out with us, they see what we're dealing with. So we could inspire people around us to maybe start their own business, because that's another thing that we started 2 years ago. So we created like our own little business, and this was all part of where we are right now. And the thing is that we are not typical business people, so we don't thrive towards like a big amount of money or a big scale. So our goal in the end is to create life itself. And this, of course, are plants, this is water, this is people, this is creative and sustainable housing. So this is actually the treasure we are sitting right now on, which still needs a lot of work and love, of course, but we are doing it.
When you just said you're creating a business, a tiny business, I think the other thing that you and Vanessa are very good at is inspiring people to think in a different way about living life, about people's relationship to work, their relationship to food. When people see you guys promoting this way, it seems easy, it seems fun, it seems authentic. And you created Power Provider in Germany.
So Power Provider is basically a concept which is built on three pillars, which are conscious movement, conscious eating, and conscious being. So it's about a conscious lifestyle, a balanced lifestyle. So we are all facing a very dynamic world. We are all facing a lot of big changes in the world. And at some point, we try to kind of survive in society. There's not anymore a real living character. So people go to work to pay their bills, to like go maybe 3 weeks a year on holidays. So people got really sucked out, I would say, from the society. People start burning out, especially in the studies I made, business administration. And I know, of course, all my colleagues which I was studying with, and I see and hear all that stories, and of course I know how the corporate lifestyle works. And this is basically something we try to kind of give the people the chance to escape from there, so to come to an environment where they could really be the human side of them. So try to forget the person you're dealing with in the social life, mm-hmm. in your social life, and try to find new ways of being in yourself. And this is all about consciousness. So when you get out of your normal life, you start realizing, oh, there are some more selves in myself. So you could kind of develop more about yourself. Mm-hmm. And we just had friends visiting last week, and there was of course friends I was studying with, so out of the corporate world. And there was this one friend, he actually never builded something with his hands, and it's not because he doesn't like it, because there was nobody who showed him that there's a possibility to do so. So we had the project of creating a pergola, and this pergola became the project for our group. We were four guys in the beginning, and in the end we were five. Mm-hmm. And we made a pergola in a day, and it's a 40 square meter pergola, so it's a really big one, and
we're sitting under it now.
We're standing under it now, and it's protecting us from the sun. So he was telling me at some point that he never thought about him creating something like this. Mm. And yeah, like in that moment I realized that's basically the project about. So getting people out of their comfort zone and challenging themselves to finally, yeah, see some other roles in them.
Some alternatives.
And yes, this is basically what we try to provide with, because we are power provider, but we are also power provider. So we try to provide people with the experience. It's basically that. It's either you have a nutritionist food, which is completely plant-based and completely new tastes, is an experience for you, is a journey. The same in movement. So when you come, you do some construction work, you do some exercise, is a different aspect, because in construction is kind of a therapy. So when you work with colors like painting, or when you work with cement, you make a wall or something, it's in that moment, it's kind of a meditation, because you are just in that moment and all the things around you, they just disappear. Mm. And once you look on the clock and you see, whoa, man, we worked for 7-8 hours now and we finished. And then you just realize, like, what? This doesn't felt like 8 hours. It was just like this, mm-hmm. you know? And that's basically what's happening here. When you are like really surrounded by trees and the wind, like the real elements. So that in that environment, you can really develop your human side again.
Mm-hmm. And explore new things too. Because I know you've had a lot of friends come recently. Yeah. And with the business in Germany, some of your friends were curious about it, but not so bought into the idea. Did any of your friends back home in Germany think, oh, wow, 10 hectares, are they really going to do this?
Yeah, man, it's basically like that. Like, when people got to know about the project here in Portugal, which is very recently, we just bought this property in January this year. So when we got back home, they of course were like, whoa, man, 10 hectares is huge. But actually I have no idea how huge it is. So I was trying to give him like kind of an idea how big 10 hectares is. And when you have like a very big soccer stadium, it used to be 9,500 square meters, so it's almost a hectare, like the biggest size of a soccer field, you would say. And then you put 10 next to each other, then you have kind of the size of where we are sitting right now. And the moment we decided to buy the property, we knew, okay, this is gonna be a big commitment for sure, but also a very important step, especially for the area we are living in, because the center of Portugal has a big problem. The big problem here is eucalyptus, because eucalyptus grows fast and is invasive and it sucks all the water. So with people like us coming here to do some recultivation also of the area, it's also good to prevent of future fires, because we know what's the problem with, but I know also that some Portuguese families, they need to grow the eucalyptus because it's a fast growing tree and they can make money out of more or less nothing, because the seeds, they are so cheap that you can buy many of them. So long story short, it's very good that people like with a conscious mindset come to move in the center of Portugal to also do something good for the environment. And that's on different ways we are kind of doing something good here.
I know from talking to you guys, there are many other foreigners who are around here doing similar projects. Can you talk a little about the people who you've met generally and who come here and why they come here?
Yeah. Once we came visit here because friends of ours bought a property 1.5 years ago, almost 2 years ago. So we came visiting them last summer. And at the same time, we got to know some more people around. And it turns out that, many foreigners from different countries of Europe, like France, Belgium, England, Germany, Swiss. So those people, like, we met so far, basically came here for more or less the same reason like us, because they got also kind of sick of the city. They got kind of sick of not doing things, because it's very hard in countries like we live to really realize project like this, because it's not affordable, of course. So Portugal in that sense is a really open-minded country, and they really are welcoming foreigners to do a project like this. And the project of the community here, they look similar and completely different at the same time. So some just came here to live their life, doing the permaculture, creating their own energy to also become autark. Others come here to share their vision with others. So they like doing, of course, hosting people. They having different kinds of guest housing options. Yeah, so it's also here kind of the same kind of desire, but everyone does it in his kind of way and tempo also. Yeah.
Talk about some of the buildings that you have. Talk about the property itself that you have.
Yeah. So yeah, the property is an old Portuguese family farm. It is interesting how it's constructed, because there were basically two families living here like 100 years ago. Those two families, they got along very well. At some point, the daughter of the one family and the son of the other family, they got in love with each other, and they kind of took over parts of the farm of their parents. So they were living, like, one of them, I think the son was living with his family in a 100 years old stone house next to another stone house, which is now a ruin without a roof. And they got together, so they got married and had two children, and they built another house on top of the stone houses. So it became, it grew in that sense. So the place grew. They start making their income with farming. So they had a big ruin, which was just made up for the corn. And in front of the ruin, where we are sitting right now, they have made the olive press and a place where they could produce their own wine. So they had this ruin made, and they created some smaller, I would say, animal houses. But those animal houses, they look super nice, because they were created with this typical schist stone from this area. So they are basically old, nice stone houses. And we have in total five of them, five stone houses, some bigger, some smaller. And we have a house out, was built in the 60s, so it's not out of the schist stone, it's more like the terracotta stones, like the bricks. Mm-hmm. So the farm we are on has basically six buildings, and some of them are in a super good shape and others need more treatment, of course, but the plan is to restore them all the way they were builded. So we want to keep the base, maybe straighten up a little bit the walls, because back there the people were a little shorter than us now. So we have to extend a little bit the roof. But it's basically six buildings, and the buildings are kind of have a very interesting position. So it's on the hill. So you have the first house, you go down a little bit, and then you have already the first little ruin to your left. You go further, you have a little garden. You go through the garden, you come to this nice terrace, stone terrace we're sitting on right now, which have a ruin to the left and a ruin to the right. You can go down steps, and then you have a nice hallway, which is completely full of wine and some other trees, like the olive tree. We have a very nice big olive tree in kind of the core area of the property. And when you are in front of the olive tree, you have this 100-year-old stone house, which for us is kind of the treasure of this property. So this is like such a solid structure. I think this will sustain many, many more centuries. Yeah, so it's a very interesting place because it has many different areas, many different spots. And I have actually one favorite place, which is not ready yet, but it's actually where the olive tree is. And there's like an old stone oven, and there's a nice grass area in front of the stone house. And I have this vision in front of my inner eye, which contains a big nice table on that grass area, and chilling under the olive tree and having fresh bread coming from the oven, while the others are in the stone house cooling off because it's a nice temperature. So it's hard to explain it because you have to see it.
Yeah, you really do.
You want to see it.
What have you been working on since you've been here? You've been here since March, and your thinking is to go back to Germany for some part of the year.
Yes, it's correct. We came here in the mid of March, very spontaneously, because the COVID was happening, obviously. And we knew kind of that once it becomes more serious in Germany, that it's impossible for us to do any markets or any caterings or any retreats. So we decided, like, very spontaneously to come here in order to work on the property, because we knew that there's a lot of work to do. So we came in the mid of March, and the first time it was not really working on the property. It was more like trying to get through the buying process to start working here, because this was still processing. Mm. And with the COVID, of course, it all took a little bit more time. So we were lucky because the owners were super nice, and they let us work on the property without finishing the buying process. So we start, like, I think maybe in the beginning of April working here. And yeah, it's basically a restoration of the house. So the house was not in use for 3 years, but we were kind of lucky because the structure is really nice. And there were 2 weak parts of the house which were built under the soil, more or less, like under earth. So there were like 2 wet walls we had to treat very well. And we started restoring the house. I started grinding all the walls. We had some friends helping from the community with painting the first rooms. We completely restored the bathroom, which was like super old and not updated anymore. So we created a new room, a wet room basically, which is all tiled with nice old stones. And we start improving ourselves. So I of course were working on some constructions in Germany before, but I was never doing stuff like I did in these past months here. So after a while, of course, you gain more confidence, and you at some point realize, okay, I can do whatever I want to do. So we start making walls new, we start fixing the roof at some places, we start painting, we got creative, we kind of put our own character into the house. And
there's a lot of artwork here.
There's
already
a lot of artwork, exactly. We had some volunteers coming. We had a very interesting volunteer from Germany. He's a pilgrim. And we met him in Certa, which is 20 minutes from us driving.
Can you explain what a pilgrim is?
A pilgrim is basically someone who's doing it out of different motivations. You have pilgrim who do it like with a religious way. You have others, they just want to be on their own and walk, basically. You cannot describe it, like there's no real definition about a pilgrim, but it's basically getting out of your normal life and try to yeah, stay silent, I think. Like for me, pilgrim is also has a lot to do with silence and kind of constant meditation in walking.
Where do they walk to? This is Santiago,
yes,
right?
Yes, this is Santiago. Yeah, Santiago. Like most of the people around here, they doing the Santiago de Compostela. So you can have a nice walk from Porto up, and there are also some nice pilgrim. Like some trails here in Portugal, so you can do the pilgrim to Fatima and other places. So, yeah, this is a short definition, I would say, if you can define it. But yeah, this pilgrim we met, he was a very artistic person, and he got really creative at this place, and yeah, he kind of made this
brought a little character to
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
And what will you hope to have here in a couple years then?
The idea is to restore the buildings we have here and to start recultivating the land. So the idea is to have those buildings restored. There's this one ruin which will become kind of the creative house. So it's all about creation in different senses. So we will have an area for entrepreneurs. So it's going to be like a nice workplace, like a co-working place. And we will have on the other side of this ruin a big studio for different kind of workshops, of meditations, of yoga. And this is actually one group what we want kind of to attract coming here. So it's like the co-working entrepreneurial group. And at the same time, we also want to have people coming as kind of a volunteer program to have the experience of how a life could be on a farm, or like in an alternative way. So we kind of have the option of like co-living, so that you contribute with some of your passions. It could be gardening, it could be construction, it could be also organizing stuff. So we kind of looking for that group as well. And as we do retreats in Germany already, we of course want to host retreats here as well. So the idea is to create kind of a place where people could meet each other. It's kind of a meeting point. It's basically not targeting any specific group. Actually, we also don't like label. Anyone is welcome who just want to experience some nature, I would say, because we are in the middle of nature in the mountains on maybe 700 meter above the sea level. So it's just nice being here, you know.
Yes, I think I live in the middle of nowhere, but truly I do not. And it's very peaceful here, you know. We have a great view of a valley and some hills. Most of them are covered in pine and eucalyptus. Well, Hudi, it was good to talk to you finally.
Yes, man. I can say the same.